You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I'm your host, as always, Mark King. For this podcast, I also cover the Grizzlies at grizzlybearblues.com. You can see my work over there. I'm the assistant editor over there. But man, I just want to say thank you to everyone who has downloaded the podcast and listened so far over the past couple weeks since I've taken it over. We've had a lot of downloads, a lot of listens. So I appreciate everybody doing that. I know I'm just thankful for that. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving yesterday with their family. I know I did. I ate quite a bit, probably too much, as is everybody else. This is going to be a shorter podcast today. I'm still with the family. Got some family stuff going on today. My wife's doing some shopping, and so I have the kids as well. So going to be a shorter podcast, but I definitely want to get it out to you, at least to talk about this Grizzlies game that happened on Wednesday, as well as the one that's happening today. Now, the Grizzlies game today at the Clippers is an early game. It's not a 7 o'clock game. It's an early afternoon game. I believe it's a 2:30 tip. So make sure you know that it's not a 7 o'clock game. It's an early afternoon game. As I did when I woke up this morning. So, but man, the Grizzlies just keep finding a way to win games. Man, they are now first place in the NBA. They have a better record than the Trailblazers, better record than the Golden State Warriors. They are now 12-5 and first place in the Western Conference, which is still astonishing to me. But JB Bickerstaff still, he finds a way to get these guys to win. That's really all that matters. I mean, that's really all it boils down to is that. And shout out to David Bickerstaff for someone that, people who were very critical of him during the offseason, especially me. I was shouting it from the rooftops that, he's still a rookie head coach. He had a lot to prove. There are a lot of questions going into this season. The big turnover on the roster, especially the head coach, someone who has never really been a head coach before, and his two interim stints that he was a head coach didn't go very well in Memphis and in Houston. So, they didn't really do proper coaching search for this team, and I was very critical of that. And so, But he's done. He clearly has found a way to win with this team. I mean, 12-5. You can't really get better than that right now. And he's still got a long ways to go. But he's clearly found ways to win with this team. And they clearly want to play for him. And they found a style that works for this team. So even through injuries that they've had, even though the injuries they do have right now with Dylan Brooks and the ever-injured Chandler Parsons, I mean, even with the limited offense, and, there's only so much you can do with Marshawn Brooks and Wayne Seldon some nights. Even with the limited offense, he's still finding ways to win games. And frankly, they shouldn't even won the game at San Antonio. They really stole that one in San Antonio. Let's go ahead and let's talk about the San Antonio game. But again, they had no business winning this game. I'm going to be quite honest. They didn't play extremely well against a team that – a Spurs team that doesn't really turn the ball over, and you're a team that, is second in the NBA in steals, and, they didn't do a good job of doing that. But San Antonio doesn't turn the ball over well. Memphis won this game 104-103. But the Grizzlies only had 4 steals, something they have almost 10 per game. In the past couple games, they've had 11 and 12 the past week. So, that's been a lot of their offenses, steals and fast break points off of turnovers. That's been a lot of their offense the past week and a half, and that's really what's led them to a good record and beating some of these teams. And then you come into a Spurs team who doesn't even turn the ball over that much, and they didn't. They only turned the ball over 8 times. So they had to find another way to win. And to be quite honest, there was a game where I'm not sure too many refs make that call that they made on Rudy Gay. I mean, I know it's a foul. It was a foul. But I'm not sure that too many refs make that call. So many times you see refs in the NBA swallow their whistle in the last minute of the game, and the Grizzlies get lucky with that call because was it a good look? Sure, I guess maybe. But you know, I would rather have seen something going towards the basket, you know, really to even force the call more, especially if you're going towards the basket with a layup and you get hammered, that's going to force the call even more. But something you throw Mark and he pumps fakes and then he's shooting the ball, basically falling away. Rudy Gay just jumped into him that much. And so I think it was just one of those things that was so egregious. You can't not call it. And then Marc Gasol goes to the free throw line, hits the two. It puts them up by two in the fourth quarter. Spurs have, I would say, 0.7 seconds left to get a shot off, which is more than enough time to get a shot off. And they do. And Mark fouls the crap out of Marcus Aldridge. He fouls the crap out of him. Knocks him down. And the refs don't call it. And it's just, and it's the exact same thing on the other end. If it's kind of one of those things, if you're going to call that one on Mark or one on Rudy, you got to have to call the one on Mark. And they didn't. And the Grizzlies lucked out on that. And again, I'll take the non-call. I'll take it all day long. I'm just saying it was a foul. And they get away with it. That's okay, though. But they still won. And just I don't think the Grizzlies had any business winning this game. Outside of Mark and Mark, didn't have a whole lot of help from the starters. Mike Conley had 30 points. Four rebounds, 9 assists though. 1 steal, 1 block. Mike Conley was fantastic. I mean, he just keeps playing better and better. It's 3 from 7 from three. That's 42% from three. The Grizzlies as a whole did not shoot the three ball well. Only 8 for 25. But neither did the Spurs. The Spurs didn't shoot the ball well either. They were only 7 for 22. So it's neither team really shoots the ball in volume. Now, the Grizzlies shoot the ball well in percentage, and so do the Spurs, but this game really wasn't good for either team. Marc Gasol was good again, 20 points, 10 rebounds, another double-double, 2 assists, 2 steals. He had 5 fouls, but the rest of this game were just trash. I mean, it is what it is. The rest of this game were just trash, and they called too many fouls. No one cares to be there to call this many, to see you call fouls. Nobody's there to watch you call fouls. Jaren Jackson had a tech. I believe JB Bickerstaff had a tech. I mean, there were like 4 or 5 techs in this game. The refs just, I guess, for whatever reason, they were unhappy that this day and took it out on both teams. They were just not good. I mean, on either side of the ball, but really, I mean, they had just too many fouls. I mean, I think in the first quarter, Jermichael Green had 3, Jaren Jackson had 2, Marc Gasol had 2. I mean, just in the first quarter, the Grizzlies were already behind the 8-ball, and their bigs getting in foul trouble. But Marc Gasol was still good, 6 for 13. He was 0 for 4 from 3, which is not great. You want to see at least 1 or 2 makes, but you know, he makes up for it. 20 points, 10 rebounds, gets to the line 8 times and makes all 8. Kyle Anderson was really good defensively. He did a lot of things that weren't going to show. This is one of those games where Kyle did a lot of things and they weren't going to show up in the box score, but he was 9 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. He just did a lot of good things, played defense really well, and it really created havoc on the Spurs enough to create offense for other people. And that's exactly what you need from Kyle Anderson, and exactly what he did, especially in that third quarter, exactly what he did in that game against the Spurs. Garrett Temple was mediocre on the offensive end. He actually wasn't good on the offensive end, excuse me. Was mediocre on the defensive end, but you know, you have an assignment between Kyle Anderson, Garrett Temple, of DeMar DeRozan and Rudy Gay, and that's hard. That's a hard assignment, you know. That's not great. It is what it is. It's just one of the things. DeMar DeRozan hit a shot over Garrett Temple to go up before Mark hits free throws, and it's just one of those things where, like, Garrett Temple did literally everything you're supposed to do in that situation. Like, played him well. I mean, he just hit the shot. I mean, it's just better offense. It's good defense, but better offense from Garrett Temple. And it's just what it is. It is what it is. So, but Garrett Temple did everything he was supposed to do. So, it's just hard having an assignment of DeMar DeRozan sometimes, because he's just that good. Jaren Jackson only played 12 minutes. It was in foul trouble most of the night. He hit two threes, though, while he was in, had 9 points and then limited minutes, just one rebound, but it was 3 for 4 from the field, 2 for 2 from three. I'm not sure what happened there, what's happening with Jaren. And I don't really know why they don't want to let him. I understand why taking him out early, because you want to save him for the game late. But they don't want to seem to let him play through his foul trouble, which is fine. I just think at some point you're going to have to let him foul out. Let him play till he gets all 6 fouls and just go from there. Because when you take him out, you're in the same situation you were if he fouls out. He's not there. So at least have him until he fouls out. So that's kind of weird to me, but whatever. They're continuing to win. I mean, I see a lot of cries for help on Jaren Jackson's offensive, and make sure you're starring him and getting him more offensive looks and all this stuff. But they're winning, they're winning right now, and they're definitely not going to feature a rookie when you have Mark and Mike on this team. It's just not going to happen. I've said it before. Garrett Temple's going to have to find offense in other ways. He's going to have to find offense of getting rebounds. And when he gets the ball, he's got to, he's in a spot to score. He's got to be aggressive and go after it. They're not going to run plays for Jaren Jackson. It's just not. I mean, whether they should or not is a totally different thing. That's a totally different debate and conversation. I'm just telling you, they're not going to, Not with the way they're playing right now, not with the way they're winning. What reason should they? They were losing really bad and they needed offense and needed to find different ways, maybe you change that up and you run different plays for him. But they're letting him learn on the fly, learn it with Mark and Mike out there, and then seeing what he can do. But coming up after the break, we'll talk a little bit more about this game, then get into this Clippers game as well. Welcome back to the show. Talking Grizzlies, Spurs. Grizzlies win. Still going to the box score a little bit. Omri Caspi had a really good game in 19 minutes. Was 5 for 6 from the field, 11 points, 6 rebounds, assist, and 2 blocks. Was honestly really impressed with Omri Caspi. Omri Caspi and Jamal Green, there just wasn't that much there. Jamal Green was also really, really good in 18 minutes, 12 points, 3 rebounds. Just another night for Jamal Green. Ends up fouling out, but I thought played well. And for everybody that screams about Jamal Green and how he's not very good and doesn't attribute to this offense, I disagree. I disagree wholeheartedly, and maybe that's just what I see on my Twitter feed. maybe people don't really think that, and if you don't, please let me know, because Jamal Green is impressive. It's just that it's that little bit of offense that he gives you, that you miss. Think about it. I mean, you take his 12 points away and 12 points rebounds away, and you really you just struggle, and not only this game but in previous games. Shelvin Mack, only 1 point. He was not good. Wayne Sutton, 2 points. Marshawn Brooks, 6 points. None of those guys were very good in this game. Marshawn Brooks continues to shoot you out of games, shoots bad shots. And Wayne Sutton's not far behind him. Wayne Sutton was 0 for 6, 0 for 2 from 3. All three of those guys were actually 0 for whatever from 3. And Wayne Seldon's not far behind Marshawn Brooks. As much as I love Wayne Seldon, and I think he's the prototypical NBA guy for your 3-and-D guy, he's not been good this year. He drives erratically. He doesn't really know what he's doing with the ball, but when he starts going to the bucket and tries to figure it out on the fly, has not been shooting the ball that great from 3. I think you're just kind of forced to play Wayne Seldon and Marshawn Brooks right now. I think that's just what it is. And unfortunately, until Dylan Brooks gets back or Chandler Parsons comes back, which maybe never, you don't count on Chandler Parsons coming back ever. If he does, it's added benefit. But until Dylan Brooks comes back, I'm not sure. You have to play Wayne Sutton and/or Marshawn Brooks. When Dylan Brooks comes back, you can have a bench lineup of Omri Caspi, Jamonka Green, Shelvin Mack, and Dylan Brooks. I think you're good there. I don't think you need to play Wayne Sutton or Marshawn unless it's a situation where you think it provides you a better matchup or you have foul trouble. I don't think you need to play those guys. But until that time, you're stuck. You're just kind of here, and you don't have much to do other than play Wayne Selton 18 minutes and Marshawn Brooks 12 minutes. And that's unfortunate, but the Grizzlies are winning in spite of that. The Grizzlies still are trying to, again, like I mentioned at the beginning, the Grizzlies are still finding a way to win in spite of some guys not playing well at all on the bench and providing literally not really any bench scoring at all every night. So the Grizzlies, again, JB, shout out to him. He's finding a way to do it. He's finding a way to win with bench scoring that's, you know, not that great. Grizzlies hold Grizzlies hold most of the Spurs team beyond their big three to not that many points. 19 points for LaMarcus Aldridge, 24 points for DeMar DeRozan, 21 points for Rudy Gay, and then Brent Forbes, who's been playing really well. excuse me, Brent Forbes playing really well, has been playing really well at only 6 points. And only 0 from 6 from 3. So someone who'd been shooting lights out from the three ball at like 45, 46% and Brevin Forbes holding them 0 for 6 from 3, which is impressive. And then Patty Mills off the bench, 15 points. But all in all, again, this is probably a game the Spurs should have won. But the Grizzlies find a way to steal it in San Antonio. And I'm sure they will remember that when they come to Memphis next time to play the Grizzlies. So again, the Grizzlies 12-5, now first place in the Western Conference, which is beyond impressive and just fun to watch good basketball. I mean, it doesn't really go any further than that. It's just fun to watch a good basketball team. There were so many nights last year where it's just tough to watch, tough to write, and tough to talk about. But this team doing these things, it's fun to watch, and let's hope it doesn't stop anytime soon. The Grizzlies take on the Clippers today. Again, that's in just a few hours. It's an early afternoon game, so make sure you understand that it is not an evening game. Don't do what I did when I woke up. We'll talk more about the Clippers game after the break. Welcome back to the show. Let's talk about this Clippers game a little bit, just for a minute. Clippers coming into this game, actually third in the Western Conference. They're actually surprisingly they're one of the teams in the Grizzlies, I think, are surprisingly good this year. Doc Rivers has them 11-6 in the NBA this year. They're going to be coming off a loss against the Washington Wizards. They are third in the NBA in points per game at 117 and 22nd in the NBA in opponent's points per game in 113. So eighth in the NBA in pace at 109.9 possessions per 100 game per game, excuse me. Offensive rating is 114. Defensive rating is 110. That's good for 5th and 15th respectively. So this is another one of those teams that we've talked about before that plays a fast game, but is an above average defense. They do some really things really well. They actually limit their opponents' three pointers quite well, and they actually are really good at limiting their opponents' free throws. So they're a good defensive team in the sense that they play without using their hands, and they move their feet really well. And they don't let their opponents get to the line a lot. They don't let their opponents get a lot of free throws. So they're good in defense in the sense that they don't really defend. They defend without fouling. They are 30th in the NBA in steals. So they don't generate a lot of turnovers via steals. 14th in the NBA in total rebounds, 25th in the NBA in offensive rebounds. So that problem the Grizzlies have had over the past couple of games of having big guys that are really good at offensive rebounding and getting some of those putbacks, it's not going to be the case here with the Clippers. They don't take a lot of threes. They're 28th NBA in attempts, but they're second in NBA in a percentage. So they're making them at a clip that's very efficient. It's something that, since the same thing with the Spurs last game, they don't take a lot, but they do take efficient threes. They do take threes that are wide open. They're open for them, and they that are good looks. And so, you know, this is a team that has Tobias Harris, Donnell Gallinari that are their main, and and Lou Williams is their main point getters. You know, Tobias Harris is averaging 21 points, 8.7 rebounds, 2.2 assists. Lou Williams, 18 points, 4 assists. Danilo Gallinari, 18 points, 5 rebounds. So it's going to remind you a little bit of that Mavs team with Harrison Barnes, Andrew Harrison. Oh, man. Harrison Barnes and Luka Doncic with Lou Williams and Danilo Gallinari. You have to find a way to limit from Kyle Anderson and Garrett Temple. Find a way to limit those guys. And this Clippers team, it scores, has a lot of possessions. I will put it that way. They are, when did I see that stat? They are actually, they rank very high for field goals taken. I lost the stat and I was just trying to find it. Sorry, when I was looking it up. But this team generates a lot of possessions. They play fast and generate a lot of possessions. So something that the Grizzlies will have to do is so we talk about this all the time, and something that they didn't have to do with the Spurs but did have to do with the Mavs is find a way to limit them and slow them down. Limit their possessions, and then make them put the ball on the floor, make them drive to the right spots, get deflections, turnovers, and points. And Garrett Temple's going to have to find a way to limit Lou Williams, and I assume you'll probably see Kyle Anderson on Danilo Gallinari. I'll assume you'll see Kyle or Jaren Jackson on Tobias Harris, although I would assume that you would see Tobias Harris and Jaren Jackson, or excuse me, Jaren Jackson on Tobias Harris. Smaller group though. I don't know their starting lineup. I'm just guessing based off of numbers. And I think it looks like Montrezl Harrell may be their biggest guy out there, you know. It looks like Montrezl Harrell may be the biggest guy out there. Between Montrezl Harrell and Tobias Harris, those are going to be their biggest guys out on the floor. And so it'd be interesting to see how well the Grizzlies guard that, you know, with Marc Gasol on the floor. So you think Marc Gasol might be or Montrezl Harrell. They don't really have a true big besides Marcin Gortat. And if he's their starter, that's definitely a better matchup for Mark than it is Montrezl Harrell. So it'll be interesting to see if they play a smaller lineup, what the Grizzlies counter with. If they could put maybe Jaren Jackson at the five if they have to in second units, or if they have to put Jamaica Green at the five and play much, much smaller. So we've seen JB Bickerstaff do that in times, and especially in foul trouble. He's not afraid to put Kyle Anderson at the five and play an all-guard lineup, guard wing lineup if he needs to. So that'll be interesting to see how well they do that. But Grizzlies Clippers coming up today in just a few hours in the early afternoon slate of this Black Friday. I just want to say thank you to everybody who has downloaded the podcast and listened. It's been a lot of people in the past 2 weeks that I have taken over, and more than I could have ever expected, that's for sure. And so I just want to say thank you. Make sure you're following the show at Locked On Grizz. You can follow me on Twitter at King_producer. You can send me an email if that's something that you want to do and you have a question or just have a comment or have something you want to talk about. You can send me an email at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com and I will get to it there as well. Either way, tweet me, send me an email. I'll get back to you. But again, I'm Mark King for this Locked On Grizzlies podcast. You can find me online again at King_producer. If you want to be a featured sponsor on the show, please email me at lockdowngrizz@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, or online at lockdowngrizzlies.com.